I'll take a full circle, come back to the, as said, my idea. And again, this is just a kind of a one point kind of idea. Of course, as you said, I think it's multifaceted. There's so many issues that, God, I hope we do figure it out. Yeah. As I said, we are aging, and there might be a cliff coming at 20 years time when we're really in the shit, but I guess we'll find out in 20 years time. But I personally think we missed a really big nugget. This might be a bit controversial. People can disagree with me, because I've certainly had people disagree with me when I've had this discussion point. But with COVID, I'm not saying for one second
I'm seeing where this is going.
But for the most part, it seemed to affect the elderly and the unhealthy, for the most part. If you were very overweight and unhealthy, type 2 diabetic, cardiovascular disease, issues like that, or you're elderly, those people seem to be very much affected. Now, I can't help you if you're 80 years of age and have respiratory issues. You're 80 years of age and you've got respiratory issues. But we have definitely a growing unhealthy population, not only in Australia, but around the world. You know, obesity is on the rise, type 2 diabetes is on the rise, and all those issues that come with that. I think we missed a silver bullet to really ramp in the message of getting healthy is a good thing here. And so I say all of this to kind of say that this idea of prevention over cure, I think, is a big draw card to really help alleviate the pressures on the healthcare system, because we all go, it's not going to happen to me. But it tends to happen to a lot of people that you get sick if you don't take care of your health kind of thing. And so my silver bullet to it is, it's not going to solve it, but I think you could do a real big damage to take some of that pressure off that if people could just lean in on taking a bit better care of their health. And I'm not saying you have to sit there and eat chicken and broccoli every day and you have to be riding your bike 4 hours a day, but I say all of that to kind of then come back to you from you're on the curative end of it. You're treating people with, you know, going through a heart attack, or they're going through respiratory distress, or whatever it kind of might be. Do you agree with my point? Like, kind of like, where can people kind of help their own themselves before they're winding up on the back of a stretcher because they're having a heart attack? Where do you see that kind of help?
I'm not going to disagree with you. Yeah. absolutely. The more you look after yourself, the less of a burden you are on society. I think that's the point you're getting at.
Yep.
And it's well known that the statistics are there for the costs of treating lifelong smokers, chronic alcoholics, chronically obese people. The stats are there for what that costs the taxpayer via treatments, long-term treatments in hospital. That's well known. So, if you're not a raging alcoholic and you're not smoking and you're a reasonably healthy weight, you're less of a burden on society, because you're not going to have all those complicated comorbidities and massive health issues. However, genetics also play a part. Mm. So there are people who are going to develop diabetes, even if they're fit and healthy. And, well, there's people like myself who are going to have outrageously high cholesterol because of bad genetics. So there's still, you're never going to get rid of it. But I do agree, that if people took ownership of their own health, that's certainly better for everybody. But we're lazy, and
that kind of goes to that point. In the exact thing what you just said is that, like, I'm a health professional, and I'm lazy just like everyone else. Like, I'd much rather be sitting on the couch and not exercising, and I do that from time to time. But I think the health message that has always been put across does tend to fall on deaf ears with all of us, because, again, it's that kind of mentality as well, it's not going to happen to me, you know, kind of idea.
Yeah.
But, and again, that's why I think we missed that silver bullet kind of moment where we actually had it playing out in real time.
Yeah.
And this is not, again, not a thing against kind of anything anti-vax or anything like that. Everything seemed to be around medication and curing when, cool, do that. But how about we get you, like, here's some really good evidence to suggest that if you're healthy and well here, that you're going to probably have less complications with COVID coming through your body here kind of thing, as well as get medicated and all those kind of other things. And so I just think we missed this moment that they shut down gyms. It's why I'm now living in WA. My business was shut down in Melbourne. I'm like, hang on, why are we shut? And I get it. I got to socially distance. We got to do our things kind of thing. But shouldn't we trying to be actively trying to help people get healthy here instead of locking us all inside where mental health issues went, physical health issues? Yeah. I'm like, this just doesn't seem right. And we're missing something here. And I just think it was a moment in time where we could have all just kind of come together and gone, you know what? Let's as a collective do better by our health here. And this isn't just a, I would have done really well in business if that was the case. It's not just a bias.
You'd still be living in Melbourne and we wouldn't be chatting.
And I've actually said, even though it shut my business, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me because I actually have fallen in love with this state. I've really enjoyed moving over here and we're probably living a better lifestyle because of it. But that said, I really think we missed that moment kind of thing. And so I don't want us to have to go through another world pandemic where our health is affected that we can have another opportunity. I just see that we seem to be going back to the kind of, I'd say COVID's over, kind of like no one's talking about it anymore. And everyone seems to just be doing the same thing we did 3 years ago. And the ball just keeps rolling. I'm like, have we not learned anything?
We're painful creatures. Yeah. We're learning lessons, aren't we? Certainly, complacency's crept in. And we're back to 2019 lifestyles again. Yeah, I mean, and we had it pretty good in WA as far as the borders were shut, but we could still, I think we had a 4 week period where we weren't supposed to go more than 5 or 10 k's from our place of residence to do exercise for an hour, which, I agree with you, was like, well, if you're outside exercising, it's good for your mental health, it's good for your physical health, and if you're not infected, then why not?
Mm.
Whilst maintaining social distance. You're just inherently lazy, mate.
Yeah. So I'll kind of then flip the whole story and, as I said, we'll go now back to you. You're moving to the States and it kind of, I guess, parlays into the fact that we moved to here and you highlighted the fact that, I always say letting my wife now take, her career. And I have had flack with people. It's like, you're letting your wife. That's not how I want people to take it, but it's been very clear. And I mean, I've documented my life on social media, and anyone who follows this podcast probably has seen me document my life on social media, and they're probably sick of it anyway. But they've seen for years I've run my business and those kind of things. And I give kudos to my wife so many times that she is, if I've come home with a wacky idea, I've got this cool thing I think it's going to help with my marketing, she's like, cool, let's do it. If it's going to help you grow your business, no worries. And she's always happily taken a bit of a backseat from it all and just kind of went, especially when we started having kids, she had mat leave and she was home with the girls and she still went back to work after that and things like that. But it's always been me kind of thing. And moving to WA, we were lucky that I could pivot my business and I moved a lot of it online. And I said to her, now's your chance to get back into mining. Like, we can go to WA, I can still run my business, but online, and you want to give it a go? And she's like, if I can get back into mining, that'd be the greatest thing ever. And so it was this chance for Amy then to be the number one kind of, okay, what do you need kind of thing. It's like, when Erin came home and said, I've got this job opportunity, like, are those kind of the discussions you guys had yourselves? Was that kind of like, cool, it's a time for me to step back or maybe spend time with the boys? Like, what were some of the discussions you guys went through?
Quite similar, although I'm not letting my wife do it. She's doing it of her own free will and because she's successful. Look, my wife's been wonderful. And I had that same recognition, same thing. We've got two boys and Erin had time off work with mat leave, and raised those boys. It went back to work a couple of days a week and then kind of built up. But she took what was effectively a career break every time we had kids. And I was still working shift work throughout that. And it was kind of like, well, she's made these sacrifices in her career for our family. The least thing I can do is return that favour, so to speak. And God bless her cotton socks. When we were talking about it, she did say, you can just say no and we won't go. And I took that away and was like, how selfish would that be of me to say, to go, yeah, no, actually, I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. Because really the only reason I would have said no was because I've got a good job that I like even after all this time. I work 2.5 k's from where I live, so I don't have to battle traffic to get to and from work. I don't work night shifts anymore because I'm old and grouchy. I've got a great permanent partner. So, like, I had lots of things that, you know, were keeping me here. Kids go to a great school, like, good community. I've got good mates. But it was, yeah, it was going, I can't say no to her and this career path that she's on now and how good it's going to be for her career. And to why don't I want to be possibly uncomfortable for the sake of, you know, what I've got here and going to America. And now it's not a place that I've ever had a deep down desire to live in. I was lucky enough to travel over there in 2019 and see a fair bit. I was really impressed. Quite like it. So, yeah, the opportunity to have a big adventure with the kids. While the kids are young enough, we're just going to go and have fun. I get to be a stay-at-home dad, and I'm not sure how happy the boys are. They keep saying, oh, I've got 2 years of dad. I'll deal with it, dudes.
Well, I mean, I wanted to ask that question purely because I don't get to talk about my experience of that swap all that often, and yeah, we were sharing this on the car on the way home, way over here, as it was in that Amy obviously works a fly-in, fly-out type lifestyle, so for 8 days out of every 14 days, I sit there and converse with only a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I love adult conversation, and so this podcast has been a great outlet for me to be able to just talk to human beings, but here I am with someone in front of me that, you know, he's going to go into a very similar situation. And so I was like, oh, I can unload some stuff here. Like, this
please
will be
do.
Cool.
I need all the tips, all the tips I can get for the
and,
first little bit.
The kind of the thing that we said when we were moving to WA is that, and I know I think you've got a timeline in your own gut, in your head that, you know, what it might be kind of thing. But we said to ourselves, no matter how difficult it gets, we will give ourselves 12 months.
To give it an
absolute go. And if after 12 months we don't like it, or there's some reason that this isn't working or whatever it might be, we pull the pin and we go back. And the other kind of big thing we said is that the divorce rates in FIFO families is skyrocketing. And I mean, divorce rates are 50% as it is already. But in FIFO, it's huge. You can't come across too many families like, oh yeah, I divorced my husband a couple. Whatever it might be. And so we said that we definitely don't want to get into that kind of
that
situation
territory,
and that if there's any qualms at all that I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling isolated or whatever those kind of things because of my lifestyle having to be at home from there, to call on it the moment I feel it. And I've always said the key to a great relationship in any way, shape or form, be it a partnership with your wife or husband or as a coaching and client type relationship, I think communication is the biggest key that you can kind of have and kind of talking.
Absolutely.
And things like that. And so there have been, and again, I don't share this public a whole lot, but there have been a few moments where, you know, I've kind of just like, I'm so lonely, it's isolating here and kind of thing. And we then get to talk that out and suggestions are made, things are kind of thing. And I, especially in the first 12 months coming over to WA, and kind of lends back to, you know, you don't know anyone. And when you're a 7-year-old, making friends is like, you've got brown hair, I got brown hair, let's be great friends, you know, kind of things. But kind of making friends as an adult.
Where do we lose that? Like, at what point when we're growing up, do we lose that ability to? I don't think we do, but we're reticent to.
I got a theory on it, and I'm kind of glad you asked that, is that I can probably pin it around my late 20s in that it's quite energy draining going into those conversations that you used to have of, what do you do? And those kind of, they have to be asked type questions to get to know someone. But as a 19-year-old, that's fine.
Yep.
As a 6-year-old, that's fine.
It's really easy.
But as a 30-year-old, do I really have the energy to go through this? And I can remember it was kind of those late 30s where I kind of, and it actually comes from a Seinfeld episode, in that I can't be bothered. I just don't want to make friends. I've got enough friends.
I've got enough friends, kind of thing.
I'm happy with my life. But, and I remember kind of even saying that to Ames. It was, you know, it was probably like just over 12 months. We'd kind of, I think this is a long-term thing. And it was kind of like 13. And I had done nothing with regards to the school system at all.
Yeah.
I'd go in, drop the kids off. I'd go home. I don't need to talk to anyone there. Yeah. I don't want to talk. And kind of just wanted to get myself sorted in it. And I can remember kind of 13, 14 months in, and I was just like, well, have you made an effort to talk to anyone kind of thing? I'm like, who? Like, who would I talk to kind of thing? She's like, I'm sure there's plenty of parents who drop off that you could just actually introduce yourself, and are there kind of dad's groups or things like that? I'm like, yeah, they all exist, but like, oh, they go out on a Thursday night. I'm like, I just want to go to bed. Like, and it was kind of then, she then kind of very rightly pulled me up and said, well, what do you say to a client who doesn't want to get up at 5 o'clock to go to the gym? It's like, you feel better after it.
Yeah.
No one ever came home from a, like all those cliche sayings that I do use on clients and say, like, no one ever comes home from the gym and say, oh, I really shouldn't have done that. I don't feel better. For, like,
yeah,
putting that effort in, you actually get more out of that effort than you kind of get. And she said, put the effort in. Next time they have a call for a Thursday night drinks, even though, yes, it'd be so nice to just go to bed because you know you got to get up early, and you know, kind of thing, go to that drink. Like, what's the worst could happen? You don't kind of get along with anyone, you go home, like,
it's one night out of
exactly,
you.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, I was, all right, fair enough, kind of.
Yeah.
And luckily, there's a really great group of dads, especially, and not to say that the mums aren't great as well, but I don't tend to kind of converse with, but there's a great dads group that kind of, and I was added into the WhatsApp group and kind of then meeting a whole heap of you guys kind of on that first night, and was like, they're kind of similar to me. And like, I can,
they're not
like,
weird.
Yeah, it's not weird. And this isn't
they're
kind
from
of
WA, but they're not. Yeah.
And luckily as well, was very easily welcomed in. Like, I didn't feel like I was kind of interrupting in a group that kind of had been together for years anyway, kind of thing.
No.
It was kind of like, come on, kind of thing. Yeah. And so, it's been interesting to kind of then put more effort on that. That then when those nights do come up, again, I don't say yes to all of them, but if I do have the ability to go there, I don't use the excuse, I can't be bothered tonight. Yeah. Go, even if it's for an hour or two, at least you were there, you say hello. And so I say all of that to kind of bring up that, I don't know how you're feeling about going to a new place where clearly you might not know anyone landing there.
Yeah, so I was actually keen to pick your brain a little bit as well, because I'm still in the excited phase of we're going on this big adventure. It hasn't actually sunk in yet that when I get there, I don't know anybody. My wife's already gone over once. She's got work colleagues that she knows. I don't know anybody. And I'll have a little bit of things to keep me occupied with getting the house sorted and getting the kids sorted. And then, but once they start school kind of mid-August, that's when I think it's going to, and I'm not going back to work, that's when it'll be, bike rides, can I go on? Do I start playing golf? And I did actually say to Erin a few nights ago, we were talking about stuff, because she's had experience when she was younger moving to New South Wales for work and then moving to Victoria for it. So she's done moving away from friends and family, going to isolated country towns for work, having to make new friends and find somewhere to live, all that sort of stuff. She's gone through it. So she was talking from her experience that, you know, you do go through periods of loneliness because you're away from everything. So I'm kind of bracing myself for that a little bit. And my biggest concern was feeling lost in that I'm away from friends, I'm away from family, but I'm also away from my career. Like, I haven't got that to, if I was going into a job over there, well, that's much easier to deal with because I'm going to make friends from colleagues and learn places and have that work thing, but I'm not having that. So I'm aware of that. It's not something that I dwell on at the moment because it's something I'm going to have to kind of deal with. Luckily I like my own company, so I'm quite happy to sit on the couch and watch however many channels of TV I'm going to get.
Well, that's a really valid point that you bring up there, and that I still do some work. It's all online now. Obviously, back in Melbourne, I had a clinic. I had in-face clients that I would have booked in. I had a team of staff that I had to kind of manage and all those kinds of things, which kept me obviously busy in that way, shape or form. But now everything's online. I'm lucky enough in one sense that it's very flexible. I'm up at 3:30 a.m. to start seeing clients, and I'm done by 7 because I like to get that done before the kids are even awake. Then I've got the entire day to make sure I can get the girls ready, get them to school, do my own thing during the day. And I thought, I'm going to have all this spare time. I'm going to be the fittest I've ever been. I'm going to, like, it's actually done the big flip, though, in that it's almost, I think you were talking about it before, is like, would you rather have only 6 days to pack the house and go home, or would you rather 6 months? And you said that, well, we had 6 months. Like, oh, well, that can wait. That can wait. And before too long, it's like, shit, we've only got 2 weeks before we leave.
Yeah.
It kind of has that kind of sense for me now that I have no time constraints anymore. But because I have zero time constraints, I now have no time kind of thing. And so my fitness, of a sense, yes, I'm an older version than I was 10 years ago, and that takes its toll as it is anyway. But my fitness is worse off than it was 10 years ago, purely because of
when
the fact
working full time.
When I was working full time. And, you know, what's that saying? It's like, the people who have the most structure are the people who are the busiest. Like, if it's something along those kind of lines, you know, because they've always got things planned. It's like at 9 o'clock or this, 8 o'clock, you know, that it's like, whereas now I have no plans.
You've got no time constraints. Yeah.
And it's kind of gone the other way. And so I would personally kind of give you the kind of 2 cents of when you get there, plan your day with some things, even if it's like, I know this sounds really, but I now plan when I'm going to brush my teeth, when they're even minimal tasks, but it's like, they're things to do, kind of thing. And they kind of then book out time. So then there's some structure to my day rather than I get to 9:15 once I've dropped the girls off. And I'm like, all right, I don't have anything until 5 o'clock when I pick them all up.
Yeah.
What do I do for the next 8 hours, you know, kind of thing. And so there's some structure to it there. It still ends up with, I've watched a lot more Netflix in my life than I ever have. And I can tell you some good shows that if you need some time to kill from there. But that's kind of, I think, the biggest thing from me is that isolation from not having anyone. And it's hard to then call up you guys at 12 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Most of them are at work kind of thing. So you can't kind of interact with kind of a adult human usually during the day. And so kind of finding things to do on your own is the best way to kind of, find that.
Yeah. And again, it's going to be interesting because at the moment in Perth, I work shift work, 4 days on, 4 days off. So I get 4 days off in a row, which my wife goes to work on those days and I do the lunch preparation, school drop-off and school pick-up. And I find that 6 hours between school drop-off and school pick-up goes so fast. By the time I put a load of washing on, done the dishes, taken the dogs for a walk, it's like, oh, I've got to go pick the kids up and go shopping, get dinner ready. But I also have the opportunity when I have made plans and got myself structured and organised that I can still catch up with my fellow work colleagues who work the same shift. So I've got that contact during the day. So it's going to be interesting until I find my feet over there and meet a few people.
You said you might pick up some casual work. Like, is that easy to just do? I mean, I don't know what kind of visas and things you guys had to need to kind of work. Like, are you able to just to kind of call up a local station house over there and say, Do you need something?
Yeah, kind of. A little bit more complicated than that.
Yep.
I was very fortunate that my wife's work has sorted a work visa for me, so I do have the ability to work. Fortuitously, I haven't met him personally, but one of our other dads at school knows a guy who's a president of a private ambulance service based over there. So, and he's given me his business card and sent me an email and said, yeah, hit us up, we'll do. Put you through a couple of courses and get you up to speed on what we do here and give you some casual work if you want. So, yeah, the opportunities are there. Once we've found our feet and kind of got everything into a bit of a routine with schooling and everything, and we'll see how bored I get.
And so that kind of then comes back there. It's like, you know, that's in the back of your mind, but kind of even though I know you love your job and you've said it a couple of times today, is there a sense of you that's like, I'm really looking forward to just taking a breather for 6 months, 12 months. Like, have you got that in the back of your mind? You're going to put a hard line. I will not work no matter how much for 12 months. Or could you in 3 months' time see yourself like, I can't do this anymore. I got to go work. Like, where do you think you, knowing yourself and your own personality, you'll kind of land on that?
It was really interesting. So coming up to the last couple of weeks of work, when I was still on road and knowing that I was stopping work and we were going overseas, I was getting to the point where I was like, you know what, 26 and a bit years is long enough. I'm ready for a break. And at the moment, technically, I'm on annual leave. Mm-hmm. I don't actually start leave without pay till August. Look, I've said to myself a minimum of 3 months before I think about anything. And in those last couple of weeks at work, I didn't really want to be there. I was checked out already mentally. And I'm enjoying not going to it. It hasn't really sunk in that I'm not going back to it yet because I'm on leave. I think once we're there, house is sorted, kids are at school, and then I'm working out what I'm doing. Yeah, we'll see. But at the moment, I'm happy to have a break and just be the dad for a bit.
Yeah.
Until they get sick of my cooking brisket every night.
Yeah. it kind of comes interesting as a thought that you've got two boys and I got two girls, obviously, and I'm going to very generalize and say this, but I would think that having the two boys with dad, there's probably an easier connection made there. You can probably tell me if I'm wrong or right, and that's fine, but I've found having the connection, especially because Ames spent so much more time with the girls when they were much younger, yeah, when we were back in Melbourne. When we moved to WA, when she went off on that first swing, I can still remember her leaving on that first day. All of us were on that front door, just bawling. Yeah. Kind of thing. It's like, it's mum's leave, you know, kind of thing. And then me having to pick up the slack and it's like, all right, you're the parent here now, kind of thing. Like, do the dad thing, you know, kind of thing here. And trying to make that connection with my girls who, they love me, that your daddy kind of thing here, but they'd never had that real connection. And it's only really been in the last, I would say, 2 or 3 months where even when Ames comes home, I'll get caught upon.
Yeah,
whereas forever and a day, if Amy is in the room, I'm like I don't exist,
yep,
kind of thing. And that stings a little bit, but I kind of get it that Amy's been away for 8 days. The girls want everything to do with mum. That's fine. I get it. And it's like, I took care of you for those 7 days. Yeah. I can help you put your shoes on. You don't, like, you know, all those kind of little things. It's not the big things. It's the little things that they kind of like, daddy, can you help me? You know, kind of things that they disappeared. It's only been in the last couple of months that I've really seen the girls kind of become a bit more attached to me. There's a little bit of a competitive, Ames and I have always been type A personalities that we're quite competitive with each other kind of thing. And that so they asked daddy to come over. Yep, I'll get this. No worries kind of thing. But it's been interesting that, again, I don't know your inner workings of your household and kind of how the boys are with you and how they are with Aaron and things like that. But it's been a godsend for me and my relationship with my girls. And so I say all of that to say that, yeah, fully embrace, which I know you will, but like fully embrace that kind of dad role. And it's a reason why I asked, will you kind of just go back to work when you get a bit bored? In that I've thought about many times opening up a shop over here or going back to one-on-one with clients. And I'm probably going to do it in a much smaller way just because I need to have some sort of human contact again kind of thing. But I don't want it to at all interrupt this newfound kind of relationship I do have with the girls, which I hope will be a positive effect on them for years to come. I don't know whether my parenting style is or not, but hopefully it's
we'll
a good thing.
Yeah, teenagers,
exactly.
Look, we've got a slightly different dynamic because I can be at work for my 4 shifts, and if we get late jobs on my early shifts, sometimes the boys are in bed before I get home, and then my late shifts, I'll see them in the morning, but it's not really meaningful contact. Like I'll make them lunch and I might do the school drop off, but then I'm at work till after 10 o'clock at night. So I can go 4 days without having meaningful contact with the boys. But then conversely, I'm home for the next 4 days, and it's also a slightly different dynamic because Erin, when I'm at home, she goes to work, but she's home every night. So it's not, we don't have that separation for extended periods of time. Funnily though, the first words out of the boys' mouth will still be mum, even after 4 days of me home. So it'd be interesting to see whether they change that after a while. So I don't want to rush back into doing even casual shifts over there because I want to enjoy this time whilst they're still young enough to love their dad and spend time with me as much as they can before they become teenage boys and not
want nothing to do with
this.
Yeah.
And I become an embarrassment. So look, if the work opportunity comes up, it'll certainly be for probably like you, more human contact than because I don't want to be in the house with the kids anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just gonna enjoy this. I'm really looking forward to it. So
and I guess one final thing that kind of comes to mind to ask you is like, what do you hope to get out of it? If it's only 2 years, maybe it's longer. But if it's only 2 years and you come back to WA and, you know, the questions asked, like, how was it? How's it changed you? Like what do you hope to kind of come back with an answer to those kind of questions?
Look, other than being able to go and see lots of things that we probably wouldn't get to do if you did like a 4 week trip to the US, you try and cram a fair bit in and not actually get to experience a lot. It'll be being able to do lots of small trips to see lots of things that you probably wouldn't get to see. I think it's probably going to be more beneficial for the kids to have that interaction with another culture, for you know, and the American culture, and just the experiences it's going to bring them, more so than for myself and Aaron. Does that answer that question?
Yeah. Cool.
I'm not looking for any big life-changing flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something will happen. Who knows? And look, we may get there and love it. Who knows? We're not going to say no to anything. Same as you guys. We've committed to a time frame that we're going to, through thick and thin, we're going to stick it out. Mm-hmm. And then if opportunities come up, and look, if this is a step in Aaron's career that, and they ask us to go and do something else, then we'll consider all offers.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome, mate. Well, 2 points to kind of end with. Number one, I cannot thank you guys in the profession that you do enough. Yes, these kind of comments get thrown around all the time in the news, and, you know, especially during COVID and things like that. But to the frontline workers, I say it like frontly to you guys, you don't get enough credit for what you guys do. And, you know, if I can say thank you for, as I said, I've called up twice. One of them, as I said, was Kroot with Amelia. The other one was for me. I don't know if I've shared this and people know about it, but I had my gallbladder blow up on me many years ago. For years, I had this pain coming. Typical male. Not going to listen to it kind of thing. It goes away in a couple of hours. Just take a couple of Panadol. It'll be fine. But 2 a.m. in the morning, it just was the worst kind of pain I've ever had. And Amy's like, I'm sick and tired of hearing you complain. I'm calling the ambulance. I'm like, don't call it. It's just a bloody stomach pain. It can't be that bad kind of thing. Anyway, come to the house back in Melbourne, this was. And they pumped me full of morphine. I was screaming that much. And to the point, again, I don't know the amounts and things like this, but I got into the back of the ambulance and she's like, give him 10, like, I'm just doing news.
Yeah.
10 cc's of morphine, you know, whatever, you know, kind of whatever the kind of initial dose is that they kind of give. We were probably 10 minutes from the hospital where we used to live in Melbourne. 5 minutes down the road, I'm still screaming in pain. And the guy who was with me next to me, and obviously the other person's up front driving the truck, he's like, you should be coming down by now, kind of thing. Like, are you still in pain? I'm like, mate, I've gone from a 49 out of 10 to maybe a 37 out of 10, but like, this is still killing me. He's like, should we give him more? He's like, he's fit and young. Yeah. Throw another 10 into him, you know, kind of thing. It's like, okay. In a go. We get to the hospital and I'm still writhing in pain. It's like, there's something not quite right. Like, you should be almost passed out with the amount of morphine we've given you. And then they do the handovers, like, you know, 38-year-old male, holding. We've given this. And the nurse, as she...
Look, are you still
giving
awake?
Giving you how much kind of thing? And she goes, yeah. And she's like, oh, you could probably deal with another one. He'll be fine. And I love telling this story just purely because the fact is it was like a movie. And I liken it to a drug addict in a movie who does the heroin into the arm and you see the eyes roll back and it's kind of that moment of euphoria as they're going into that kind of trip they're going. I remember that third injection and it was just like, oh, there's a happy place. And
there goes the pain. Yeah.
Passing out kind of thing and waking up an hour later kind of, and they've done their whole, it's like, we've already put a line into you, kind of thing. It's like, where am I? Kind of, you know, what's going on kind of thing. But I say all of that, that I was treated so well and everything like that in that situation. But to what you guys do, just a massive thank you for what you're doing. As I said, to everyone else out there on the front line of health that have had to deal with a heap of shit probably over the years, not only to do with COVID, but as it is. So, a thank you directly to you. But for two, thank you for dropping in today and telling us a bit about the career and paramedics and what you guys go through and how you go through. So it's been great.
Thanks for asking me along. It's been a good experience.
Yeah, cool. I always like finishing off the podcast, though, with a random question asked by last week's guest and put you on the spot. Last week's guest asked, what your big picture, what is your big picture and what steps are you doing to work towards it?
Cool. Well, my big picture just got repainted in January.
It was interesting when that was asked. I knew I was obviously having you on the show. I'm like, oh, this will be interesting to actually see how that might have changed because of, I guess, the big life change that's coming about. But, yeah.
Look, it is pretty much what we've just been talking about is that kind of, I guess, prior to December, January, the big picture was raise two children to be healthy, morally, a society, adults that contribute and are good people. And the rest was just day-to-day stuff, whereas December, January, the opportunity came up. So that picture has now been changed a bit from our little comfort zone to stepping out of our comfort. I guess that's the biggest thing, is stepping out of our comfort zone and just embracing what's been offered to us, going on an adventure, surviving, not getting shot. hopefully coming back with some new experiences.
Cool, cool. And then I'll flip it on to you. Your question for next week's guest.
You did warn me this, and I was thinking of something that's gone now.
I have to get that time. Ding,
ding, yeah, ding, yeah. I'd, ding. Like 8 out of cats does countdown. I can't concentrate with that clock going. I'm gonna ask a question that's related back to my profession, and something that's been that we as an organisation have floated several times is: should a senior first aid certificate be compulsory to get your driver's license?
Certificate, I can't spell correctly. There we go. Be compulsory.
As part of your...
Getting a driver's license.
Yeah, you got to do your X amount of lessons now. I mean, it's all changed from when I got my driver's license. Certainly as an organisation, we feel... And I'm not speaking as a representative of St John's by any means, so anybody listening to this, you cannot put this back on me. But it is something that they have spoken about for a long period of time is the more people we have trained in first aid and the more people do those courses regularly, like you said, you've done your courses, people put their hands up, have you done CPR? And in your experience, nobody has. But the more people that do those courses, the better the outcomes for the people that do need first aid interventions.
So before I kind of end the podcast, because I always like ask, I don't like to ever go into that question because it should be the question for next week. But yep. I kind of just coming from you because you said you floated that idea around work and
not
kind
me
of
personally,
yeah.
but
yes, it's kind of been floated, yeah, right. What would be the potential positive benefits from every driver out there having a first aid certificate behind them? Is it the hope that if you got into a car crash, you can then help in that situation before?
It's the hope that if you're involved or if you come across an accident, you can just do. And sometimes it's, so outside of severe traumatic injuries, people die because of a loss of their airway, and it's simply holding their head in the right position to open their airway. People knocked unconscious, slump forward, asphyxiate. So it's just knowing those basic things to do. So if every driver has a health certificate, a first aid certificate, you're then looking at the 90-something percent of the population, adult population, and it's just doing those simple things, airway, breathing, circulation. Easy stuff.
Yeah.
The more people that train, the more lives you can save.
I love it. Well, I actually heard on the, I think it was on the radio talkback as I was picking up the kids the other day and driving back, that they were talking about what's the topic at the time was like, what have you done and never given up on kind of thing? And the story was coming off the back end of the story they were talking about is this lady broke a world record, which you wouldn't want this world record to have, is that she went for her driver's license 867 times to just pass the theory. She then took 180 times to pass the practical part of it. Now, I heard that and going, if someone needs more than 10 goes at it, I think you should be like,
that's,
you know what?
That's the universe saying you shouldn't be driving.
You shouldn't be driving. And she finally got it. And that was it. They were having it as this heartwarming story. It's like, this lady, she persevered for 9 years to get a license. And she, I'm like, I don't want that woman on the road. Like, if you had to go 100 times, like, I don't want you driving me, I don't want you driving anyone else, and I don't want you near me, kind of thing. But I think just to kind of flip it all back on, I think the driving part of it obviously is important. But, like, I love the, I think that's a great idea that it's not a difficult thing for someone to go and do.
No.
It takes up a day of your time once a year to then obviously just have it there. It's like, I love the idea. But, yeah, I look forward to seeing what someone next week
says, whether they agree or not.
Yeah. But Scott, again, mate, I really appreciate your time and, again, for what you do and what you continue to do. And I wish you guys well and look forward to the chats when you're over there and see what's going on. And then hopefully you do come back, because I've enjoyed your company since moving to WA anyway. And, to see you guys move away, it's going to be sad, but I look forward to you guys coming back and having a beer and talking over it.
Excellent, mate. Yeah, we'll be back.
Excellent. Guys, thank you very much for listening in. You know what to do. Hit the like button, subscribe, and leave a positive comment. You know it helps me out on this podcast. But I hope you enjoy the show. I'll talk to you next week. Love you all. Bye.